Chapter 12. The San Cristobal Operation. My thoughts were interrupted when a car braked suddenly in front of me. I realized I had been daydreaming. I was already approaching the Dartford Tunnel, which runs under the River Thames, and the traffic was very heavy. As I moved slowly, I began to think about how we had all got involved in that San Cristobal business. Hyde, Nina, and me had all been part of the same team, so there had to be some connection between San Cristobal and the attempt to murder me. But what was it? The four of us had been given our instructions by Hugo Strang in the main meeting room in MI6 headquarters overlooking the Thames. He introduced us in turn: Nina Rowlandson, Jürgen Hyde, Daniel Combs, and Charles Cousins. "You've never worked together before, and it's not likely you'll ever see each other again once this operation is over. I therefore suggest you tell each other as little as possible about yourselves. You have, of course, been specially chosen for this operation. Nina, for her training in medicine, and," he paused with a faint smile on his lips, "for her physical attractions. Hyde for his telecommunications skills, Dan for his weapons and explosives knowledge, and last, but by no means least, Charles, or Cass, for his organizational qualities and his language skills. Cass will be your team leader." Cass smiled at us all as Strang named him as our leader. He and Strang also exchanged looks. They seemed to be sharing some kind of joke. They obviously knew each other quite well already. I remember looking carefully at each of my teammates. Nina was extremely beautiful. Tall and slim, with olive-coloured skin, green eyes, and long red hair. When she moved, it was like watching a cat move, smoothly and effortlessly. I could hardly take my eyes off her, though she carefully avoided eye contact with me. Hyde was about my own height and build, with slightly square, Germanic features, and very blue eyes. His eyes were strange. They seemed to be looking in rather than looking out. He rarely spoke. In the months to come, I realized that he was an entirely private person, someone who never showed his true feelings, who never shared his thoughts, who never opened up. Cass's personality was the complete opposite of Hyde's. He was tall, dark, and handsome, the sort of man women fall in love with easily. His eyes were dark and full of humor. His energy was like electricity running through his body. I noticed the way Nina kept looking at him, and I felt a little jealous. Strang was clearly enjoying himself. He described his special operation like a schoolboy showing off a new toy. "As you know, we work closely with the CIA in certain geographical areas, particularly in Asia. We also work together in operational areas, such as drugs, weapons, terrorist groups, and that sort of thing. The operation you will be working on is slightly unusual. Normally, the CIA deals directly with problems in Latin America. This time, however, they have asked us to act for them. There is no need for you to know the reasons for this. Just believe me that they are good reasons. The Republic of San Cristobal was created in the wave of revolutions that flowed through Latin America in the late 19th century. It's small, less than 2 million people, most of them Indians. Physically, it's less than half the size of Honduras. There's a flat coastal area, most of it covered by jungle and banana plantations, and a central range of thickly forested mountains. Apart from bananas, about the only thing the country produces is coca. As you know, Coca is the plant used to make cocaine, and the majority of this is smuggled into the USA. San Cristobal is described as a democracy, but in fact, it's a military dictatorship. The president is Julio Ramon Menéndez Arroyo de Ibarra y Figueras. Most people just call him El Jefe, the chief. Now, El Jefe won an election 20 years ago in highly suspicious circumstances, and he has been in power ever since then. Occasionally, he holds another election, but votes are cheap, and there is no organized political opposition. So, the president and his friends treat the place like their own property. They give the orders and collect the cash, and the Indians do the work, pay the taxes, and keep quiet. People can simply disappear overnight in San Cristobal. Well, this was the situation until about 10 years ago. That was when one or two of the Indians, who'd been overseas to study, came back with some different ideas. One of them was called Raúl Guayateca. He formed a new party, the Frente por la Libertad de Ixtulpaca, or FLI for short. He was a bit like the president in the sense that he wasn't interested in elections either. He wanted a revolution, so that he could establish a communist government in San Cristobal. He planned to give the country a new name, an Indian name, Ixtulpaca. The Indians would take over from the Spanish-speaking upper class. A better country and society would be created. We've heard it all before, of course. It's the same old story. But that's when the Americans began to take a closer interest in San Cristobal. Before that, it was just a name on a map. But it was in an important geographical location. The Americans did not want it to fall into the wrong hands. And there were plenty of wrong hands in Cuba, just across the water from San Cristobal. So, they invited El Jefe up to Washington and signed an agreement for military cooperation with San Cristobal. This included the usual financial aid in dollars. Naturally, El Jefe and his people were very happy to accept all this free money. The CIA, of course, knew that he was involved in cocaine smuggling, but they chose to do nothing about it, at least for a time. They supplied him with weapons and training for his army. In return, he had to keep the FLI Revolutionary Party under control. This arrangement worked very well. Until last year. Then after the elections in the US, things started to change. The new US president wanted to help democracy worldwide. He also needed to make some progress in the fight against drugs. At the same time, the FLI began to have some success in San Cristobal, and El Jefe started to lose control. The Americans began to worry. As El Jefe lost control of his country, the drugs business began to get out of control too. At one point, the president of San Cristobal was openly using military planes to drop drugs north of the border. He had to go. He was an embarrassment. But how could they get rid of him? And who would replace him? And that's where we come in. Our job, or should I say, your job, is to go in and get rid of El Jefe. We'll do this by supporting the FLI and training the revolutionary group to bring down El Jefe. At the same time, you'll find out as much as you can about the FLI and their plans. Once El Jefe is dead, you get out quickly. You pass on all your inside knowledge about the FLI to the CIA, and they'll take care of the rest. The Americans will make sure the FLI does not last long. Now, there are a lot of details to go through, but that's the main idea. We'll leave you on a nice quiet beach in San Cristobal at night. You'll be met by someone from the FLI. Take this training of the FLI seriously, You've got to make them believe that you're working with them. Please remember that once you're in, you are on your own. We cannot help you if you get into trouble. The British government cannot afford to be publicly involved, and neither can the CIA. So make sure it goes well. Now, any questions? He did not wait long enough for a reply. Good. Then I'll hand you over to the support team for the operational details. I shall see you again on your return. Good luck.